The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. What's happening?
Not much, man. Just staring at that double chili mania machine. It's ready to go. It's ready to pay.
Anybody ever sit at that machine?
I've never seen a single person sit at that one. It's my favorite titled one out there.
I think you're the first. I have been asked to be a vice presidential candidate on an independent ticket. I just want to let you know that I'll still do the show while that's happening. Just like Aaron Rodgers will still play football.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Just want to start out the show with that. We have a packed show. JVT on the NBA coming up. And some college basketball thoughts. Will Hill, all his college basketball thoughts. Jason Weingarten, our official numbers game Royals correspondent, with his thoughts on Kate Middleton and beyond. We're looking forward to that.
I can't wait for that because I'm that person who's seen like three tweets on this story and not like clicked on anything and looked at anything.
Patty Power, Ladbrokes, not booking anything quite yet on this. They're big on, is she pregnant? Is she not? Will it be boy or girl? will they ride to the wedding in a carriage or not? Like a whole, they book a lot of this stuff. It's so far considered gauche to book anything on this.
There is always royal wedding or royal family props out there. Yep.
And Alex Kane will join us from Sport Trade. Every once in a while, we talk exchanges here on the show. Had the boys on from Profit Exchange many times. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sport Trade, will join us again. If you're not familiar with exchanges, just a little primer on what they are for those who are uninitiated. Certainly for those in New Jersey, it is a very relevant topic. So we will whet your appetite. I went flatter on you there. Whet your appetite for that a little later on. First, you know, we haven't been doing this in the first segment, and it occurred to you, I think, correctly, more than it did to me. It's like the DK Network doesn't get some of the picks in the first hour, because we're only on the first hour on DK, and then we go to Lebatard on DK while we continue on VSiN. So I wanted to give some tennis picks, also my futures baseball plays that I made. First of all, baseball, just to let you know, I made San Francisco Giants bets. I know, homeration. I get it. I made three bets on the Giants, none of which were division bets, because even I know that over a 162-game schedule, they ain't beating the Dodgers. But the bet is this. And by the way, substitute Giants, whoever your team is that you think can sneak into a postseason, because remember the incongruence of a baseball season, 162 games versus then a best of three or a best of five, depending on if you're the first or second best winning division team, you'll get the best of five. But if you're the third, you have to be subjected to a best of three. You get the idea. It's the cruelest of all sports when you think of the juxtaposition between the regular season and the playoffs. So someone's got to be wild cards in the National League. And I think the Giants, well, I just think they're smarter than everybody else. I made this right after the Matt Chapman signing. I thought Blake Snell might end up there. Probably not. Probably going to end up in pinstripes. But I got the Giants to get a wild card to make the playoffs is the actual market. Giants to make the playoffs. And then, of course, if you have that bet, and again, substitute Giants with whomever you think might get in there in the National League. Maybe you think the Mets will. In the American League, pick your wild card team. I then did a National League and World Series bet along with that, because if you get into the tournament, anything is possible. And so those are the Giants bets. 27+1 on the NL, 53+1 on the World Series. Playoffs plus 172, which is similar to my Bengals bet, which I made to win the division. Bet the Bengals plus 175 to win the AFC North. That was another futures play I made. And the only other one, by the way, and this one I tip of the cap to Jason Weingarten, I did bet the O'Neill Cruz to win MVP market in the National League. O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who has just been destroying the baseball in spring training in terms of the StatCast numbers, in terms of velocity, but also just hitting phenomenally well in general. We've talked about it many times on this show when he debuted with the Pittsburgh Pirates, not as much regularly after that, but while Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds justifiably got all the press last year, let's not sleep on O'Neill Cruz. So I got it 100-1 to win the MVP. Tennis, that's what I really want to get to in terms of first hour, because we've been giving those out in the second hour. Tennis's fifth major at Indian Wells continues. We are now getting folks into the quarterfinals. Iga had no problem advancing to the quarters yesterday against Yulia Putintseva. It was a 6-1, 6-2 rout. One of those matches where when Putintseva finally won a game in the second set, she asked the crowd to give her a standing ovation, and then she was underhand serving. So that's good in terms of our futures play in this. We lost on Alex de Minaur yesterday. He was up a set and a break, and then lost to Sasha Zverev. He didn't really gack it, though. Zverev was just better. So sometimes you just got a tip of the cap, and that was one of those. But we're still up 17 units on the year in tennis on these matches. And today, more than any other day thus far this year, is a three-dog experience, and I'm talking huge dogs. So we wanted to start out the show with this. We'll crescendo from the shortest to the longest dogs. On the men's side, I'm taking Grigor Dimitrov against Daniil Medvedev. This is in a round of 16 match today as folks try to advance to the back half of the quarters now. Dimitrov, Bulgarian player, you may or may not know him if you're a casual tennis fan from advancing deep into the U.S. Open some years ago, but his hard court numbers are spectacular, better, quite frankly, than those of Daniil Medvedev, who enjoys a much faster hard court than what is offered to him at Indian Wells. In fact, he complained hugely about this court last year, saying, what is this, a hard court? This isn't a hard court. Dimitrov is the play at plus 137 today on the men's side. On the ladies' side, your girl, Diane Parry, which you like to say is Diane Perry.
Let's go, Diane. Let's go.
Diane Parry, 2-1 against Maria Sakkari. Parry's numbers are better. And again, this is I take my emotion out of this and I play the numbers. Sakkari, of course, far more well-known player, but Parry has had such a great start to the 2024 season. I think she continues it here. Admittedly, she has not won a match this big in her career. So this would be her biggest win of her career, but I'm taking her at 2-1 today. And then the big one, flyer of all flyers, but I couldn't believe this number when I saw it. We're taking a $4 dog, whoa, Kelly. Emma Navarro, who's a top 25 player in the world, and right now I think the fourth-ranked American, just behind Maddie Keys. She's really the third best, quite frankly, right now. Emma Navarro, plus 409 against the world number two, Aryna Sabalenka. Listen, should Sabalenka be favored? Of course she should be. Should Navarro be a $4 dog? Not even close, which, as you know, served us well with Katie Valinets. Playing it that way a couple times already in this tournament. Navarro is feisty. She is a competitor. Plus 409, we're live. Those are your three tennis plays of the day at Indian Wells. That's tennis's de facto fifth major. Kelly will have golf's de facto fifth major plays today, the Players' Championship, the PGA Tour's major, if you will.
That's right. That's right. We would call this tennis's de facto fifth major, not Miami. They don't get crammed together?
They do get crammed together as the Sunshine Double.
Okay.
Indian Wells is bigger, yeah.
Gotcha.
Purse is bigger. And then the Players' Championship, the reason it's the de facto fifth major of golf is because the purse is so big.
That's right.
And the field follows suit. We'll do those later?
Yeah.
Do those later.
Yep.
NBA from last night. We'll get to college basketball, which, again, Will Hill will have tons of plays for us, or I hope he'll have tons of plays for us. Five more auto bids yesterday. The Coastal Charleston got by Stony Brook in overtime. Oakland just squeaked by 22-1 Milwaukee in the Horizon, 22-1 pre-flop in that tournament, so we could have had a long shot hit there. South Dakota State gets it done in the Summit. St. Mary's beats Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference Championship. And Wagner Kelly beats Merrimack in the Northeast. Wagner came into this tournament 12-15. They leave it 15-15. They're going to the dance. Well, at least they're going to the play-in games next week,
awesome.
Probably, you know, most likely. But this is what we love about March. NBA, you said something off air, and then you walked it back because you didn't, maybe you overreacted, but you were saying how you think Jokic is going to, yes. You think Jokic is going to win MVP now. And the Thunder are still tied for first in the West with Denver. I get it. They lost last night. Shea still had his 48th out of 64 games where he's had 30 or more. That's 3 out of 4. I'll do the math for you. 3 out of every 4 games he scores 30 or more. You still think that if Oklahoma City gets the number one seed, he's totally winning it, right?
I think Shea is still alive. I think this is down to a two-man race. race.
Oh, you think everybody else is
dead? I think. Okay. I think as every game that seemingly passes, it's looking more and more like it's Jokic. It's always resetted at the All-Star break. And we talked about it so much around there where I thought there was four guys really live in this, but Jokic has just not let up out of the All-Star
break. He's amazing.
He's incredible. It has been game in, game out. You've even had Luka and the Mavs kind of admittedly talking about stat chasing for him, but he's been incredible. But it was always, okay, well, Mavs got to win some games and get up there in the Western Conference. Okay, they've really not. They're right back there in the play-in tournament. I don't think he's going to really be taken seriously, and we're running out of runway here for the season for them to really make up time. So I really think his case is hurting. This Bucks team, Giannis is playing great, but they're really not making those vast strides that I think they would need to do for him to be seriously considered. So those two are probably out of it. And you know, I just hate to say it, but SGA when you're putting up the triple double numbers like Jokic is night in and night out, it asks SGA to do so much to stay up there with him. I'm worried, Gil.
I understand.
But it's not. I don't think it's over, man. I think I saw Westgate yesterday posted a yes no on this market with Jokic at -400 in the no place, like
the
3
board.
To 1. Yeah.
Other thing last night, while Karl-Anthony Towns was getting his surgery on his meniscus, Timberwolves beat the Clippers. Kawhi gets hurt, leaves the building.
That was bizarre. If anybody was watching, it was scary for a moment because you didn't know what was going on with him.
And then James Harden mentions shoulder pain after the game.
Yeah, so Clippers fans, sorry. Hopefully this is not turning into the same old story. Back spasms for Kawhi, so not a knee, which I guess is good.
Which is good. Speaking of Clippers fans, which is why I threw it in at the end there, the natural transition to Jonathan Huntobel, his thoughts on that, and his college basketball plays, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Ready for the ultimate slam dunk? Download the free VSiN College Basketball Betting Primer. Get full VSiN Pro access until March 17th. This coming Sunday, rather. This primer will have tournament betting tips and trends for every round, plus strategies for brackets, betting futures. Bet the tournament smarter this year. Download the free Men's College Basketball Betting Primer now and get free VSiN Pro access to everything we do through March 17th at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN. .com/guide. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Wouldn't it's recommended.
Like to, wouldn't you like to B21, by the way?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I mentally still am, so that's a problem.
Oh,
in life.
Totally. My internal dialogue is the same today as it was at age 7.
Oh, yeah. Was I texting you yesterday or the day before when we had to do the compliance stuff?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm a 9-year-old. Like, I sit there and I get 3 minutes into it and I'm like, I'm so bored. Like, we have to do the, you know, financial and government compliance stuff because it was work for DraftKings. I make it through 3 minutes of it. I'm so bored. I practice putting for like 10 minutes on my carpet. I'm like organizing basketball cards randomly on my desk.
Why don't we just have segments where you complain while the guest waits patiently? Jonathan Huntobel joins us. He's our senior NBA analyst. And, of course, he goes beyond the NBA. We don't want to pigeonhole the man. Just because you're a senior NBA analyst doesn't mean you only know the NBA.
You serious?
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and, of course, the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. What's happening?
Not much, man. Just staring at that double chili mania machine. It's ready to go. It's ready to pay.
Anybody ever sit at that machine?
I've never seen a single person sit at that one. It's my favorite titled one out there.
I think you're the first. I have been asked to be a vice presidential candidate on an independent ticket. I just want to let you know that I'll still do the show while that's happening, just like Aaron Rodgers will still play football.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Just want to start out the show with that. We have a packed show, JVT on the NBA coming up, and some college basketball thoughts. Will Hill, all his college basketball thoughts. Jason Weingarten, our official numbers game Royals correspondent, with his thoughts on Kate Middleton and beyond. We're looking forward to that.
I can't wait for that because I have no – I'm that person who's seen like 3 tweets on this story and not like clicked on anything and looked at anything.
Paddy Power, Ladbrokes, not booking anything quite yet on this. They're big on, is she pregnant? Is she not? Will it be boy or girl? will they ride to the wedding in a carriage or not? Like a whole, they book a lot of this stuff. It's so far considered gauche to book anything on this.
There is always royal wedding or royal family props out there. Yep.
And Alex Kane will join us from Sportrade. Every once in a while, we talk exchanges here on the show. Had the boys on from Profit Exchange many times. Alex Kane, the CEO of Sportrade, will join us again. If you're not familiar with exchanges, just a little primer on what they are for those who are uninitiated. Certainly for those in New Jersey, it is a very relevant topic. So we will whet your appetite. I went flatter on you there. Whet your appetite for that a little later on. First, you know, we haven't been doing this in the first segment, and it occurred to you, I think, correctly, more than it did to me. It's like the DK Network doesn't get some of the picks in the first hour, because we're only on the first hour on DK, and then we go to Lebatard on DK while we continue on VSiN. So I wanted to give some tennis picks, also my futures baseball plays that I made. First of all, baseball, just to let you know, I made San Francisco Giants bets. I know, homeration. I get it. I made three bets on the Giants, none of which were division bets, because even I know that over a 162-game schedule, they ain't beating the Dodgers. But the bet is this, and by the way, substitute Giants, whoever your team is that you think can sneak into a postseason, because remember the incongruence of a baseball season, 162 games versus then a best of three or a best of five, depending on if you're the first or second best winning division team, you'll get the best of five. But if you're the third, you have to be subjected to a best of three. You get the idea. It's the cruelest of all sports when you think of the juxtaposition between the regular season and the playoffs. So someone's got to be wild cards in the National League. And I think the Giants, well, I just think they're smarter than everybody else. I made this right after the Matt Chapman signing. I thought Blake Snell might end up there. Probably not. Probably going to end up in pinstripes. But I got the Giants to get a wild card to make the playoffs is the actual market. Giants to make the playoffs. And then, of course, if you have that bet, and again, substitute Giants with whomever you think might get in there in the National League. Maybe you think the Mets will. In the American League, pick your wild card team. I then did a National League and World Series bet along with that, because if you get into the tournament, anything is possible. And so those are the Giants bets. 27+1 on the NL, 53+1 on the World Series. Playoffs +172, which is similar to my Bengals bet, which I made to win the division. Bet the Bengals +175 to win the AFC North. That was another futures play I made. And the only other one, by the way, and this one I tip of the cap to Jason Weingarten, I did bet the O'Neill Cruz to win MVP market in the National League. O'Neill Cruz of the Pittsburgh Pirates, who has just been destroying the baseball in spring training in terms of the StatCast numbers, in terms of velocity, but also just hitting phenomenally well in general. We've talked about it many times on this show when he debuted with the Pittsburgh Pirates, not as much regularly after that, but while Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds justifiably got all the press last year, let's not sleep on O'Neill Cruz, who I got at 100-1 to win the MVP. Tennis, that's what I really want to get to in terms of first hour, because we've been giving those out in the second hour. Tennis's fifth major at Indian Wells continues. We are now getting folks into the quarterfinals. Iga had no problem advancing to the quarters yesterday against Yulia Putintseva. It was a 6-1, 6-2 rout. One of those matches where when Putintseva finally won a game in the second set, she asked the crowd to give her a standing ovation, and then she was underhand serving. So that's good in terms of our futures play in this. We lost on Alex de Minaur yesterday. He was up a set and a break, and then lost to Sasha Zverev. He didn't really gack it, though. Zverev was just better. So sometimes you just got a tip of the cap, and that was one of those. But we're still up 17 units on the year in tennis on these matches. And today, more than any other day thus far this year, is a three-dog experience, and I'm talking huge dogs. So we wanted to start out the show with this. We'll crescendo from the shortest to the longest dogs. On the men's side, I'm taking Grigor Dimitrov against Daniil Medvedev. This is in a round of 16 match today, as folks try to advance to the back half of the quarters now. Dimitrov, Bulgarian player, you may or may not know him if you're a casual tennis fan, from advancing deep into the U.S. Open some years ago. But his hardcore numbers are spectacular, better, quite frankly, than those of Daniil Medvedev, who enjoys a much faster hard court than what is offered to him at Indian Wells. In fact, he complained hugely about this court last year, saying, what is this, a hard court? This isn't a hard court. Dimitrov is the play at plus 137 today on the men's side. On the ladies' side, your girl, Diane Parry, which you like to say is Diane Perry.
Let's go, Diane. Let's go.
Diane Parry, 2-1 against Maria Sakkari. Parry's numbers are better. And again, this is I take my emotion out of this and I play the numbers. Sakkari, of course, far more well-known player, but Parry has had such a great start to the 2024 season. I think she continues it here. Admittedly, she has not won a match this big in her career. So this would be her biggest win of her career, but I'm taking her at 2-1 today. And then the big one, flyer of all flyers, but I couldn't believe this number when I saw it. We're taking a $4 dog,
whoa,
Kelly. Emma Navarro, who's a top 25 player in the world, and right now I think the fourth-ranked American, just behind Maddie Keys. She's really the third best, quite frankly, right now. Emma Navarro, plus 409 against the world number two, Aryna Sabalenka. Listen, should Sabalenka be favored? Of course she should be. Should Navarro be a $4 dog? Not even close, which, as you know, served us well with Katie Valinets. Playing it that way a couple times already in this tournament. Navarro is feisty. She is a competitor. Plus 409, we're live. Those are your three tennis plays of the day at Indian Wells. That's tennis's de facto fifth major. Kelly will have golf's de facto fifth major plays today, the Players' Championship, the PGA Tour's major, if you will.
That's right. That's right. We would call this tennis's de facto fifth major, not Miami. They don't get crammed together?
They do get crammed together as the Sunshine Double.
Okay.
But
Indian
Wells is bigger, yeah.
Gotcha.
Purse is
gotcha.
Bigger. And then the Players' Championship, the reason it's the de facto fifth major of golf is because the purse is so big.
That's
and the
right.
field follows suit. We'll do those later?
Yeah.
We'll do those later.
Yep.
NBA from last night. We'll get to college basketball, which, again, Will Hill will have tons of plays for us, or I hope he'll have tons of plays for us. Five more auto bids yesterday. The Coastal Charleston got by Stony Brook in overtime. Oakland just squeaked by 22-1 Milwaukee in the Horizon, 22-1 preflop in that tournament, so we could have had a long shot hit there. South Dakota State gets it done in the Summit. St. Mary's beats Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference Championship. And Wagner Kelly beats Merrimack in the Northeast. Wagner came into this tournament 12-15. They leave it 15-15. They're going to the dance. Well, at least they're going to the play-in games next week,
awesome.
Probably. You know, most likely. But this is what we love about March. NBA, you said something off air, and then you walked it back because you didn't. Maybe you overreacted, but you were saying how you think Jokic is going to. Excuse me. Yes. You think Nikola Jokic, pardon me, I was Djokovic
yeah.
and Jokic. You think Jokic is going to win MVP now. And the Thunder are still tied for first in the West with Denver. I get it, they lost last night. Shea still had his 48th out of 64 games where he's had 30 or more. That's 3 out of 4. I'll do the math for you. 3 out of every 4 games he scores 30 or more. You still think that if Oklahoma City gets the number one seed, he's totally winning it, right?
I think Shea is still alive. I think this is down to a two-man race.
Oh, you think everybody else is
dead?
Yeah,
I think. Okay. I think as every game that seemingly passes, it's looking more and more like it's Jokic. I just want to it's always reset it at the All-Star break. And we talked about it so much around there where I thought there was four guys really live in this, but Jokic has just not let up out of the All-Star
break. He's amazing.
Break, he's incredible. It has been game in, game out. You've even had Luka and the Mavs kind of admittedly talking about stat chasing for him, but he's been incredible. But it was always, okay, well, Mavs got to win some games and get up there in the Western Conference. Okay, they've really not. They're right back there in the play-in tournament. I don't think he's going to really be taken seriously, and we're running out of runway here for the season for them to really make up time. So I really think his case is hurting. This Bucks team, Giannis is playing great, but they're really not making those vast strides that I think they would need to do for him to be seriously considered. So those two are probably out of it. And you know, I just hate to say it, but SGA with the when you're putting up the triple double numbers like Jokic is night in and night out, it asks SGA to do so much to stay up there with him. I'm worried, Gil. I'm a little worried,
I understand.
But it's not. I don't think it's over. Man, I think I saw Westgate yesterday posted a yes-no on this market with Jokic at minus 400 in the no place, like 3-1. Yeah.
Other thing last night, while Karl-Anthony Towns was getting his surgery on his meniscus, Timberwolves beat the Clippers. Kawhi gets hurt, leaves the building.
That was bizarre. If anybody was watching, it was scary for a moment because you didn't know what was going on with him.
And then James Harden mentions shoulder pain after the game.
Yeah, so Clippers fans, sorry. Hopefully this is not turning into the same old story. Back spasms for Kawhi, so not a knee, which I guess is good.
Which is good. Speaking of Clippers fans, which is why I threw it in at the end there, the natural transition to Jonathan Antoble, his thoughts on that, and his college basketball plays, Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? Create a free account today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through NCAA Championship Week this week, leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. That's our VSiN Pro free preview. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/Champ Week and get full VSiN Pro access from now through Sunday, March 17th, Selection Sunday. That's VSiN.com/Champ Week. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is Jardians commercial. Trip Tepper, I call the Jardians commercial Obesity the Musical. They are literally celebrating our country's nearly 50% obesity epidemic. It's quite bizarre. Primetime, I'm sorry. Oh, no, sorry. Let me read in Kelly Vidlin voice. I'm sorry. Am I crazy, or is it not enough? Or is not enough being made of the Washington football team's purge of the boys' roster and coaches? Seems like the Commies trying to break their streak of no NFC title game in 30 years by stealing guys from the rival that hasn't been there in 28 years themselves. Les Commode. Skins will take the help wherever they can get it. Welcome, Dorrance Armstrong. Doug Tuttle, parlay Scheffler, Shoffley, Hoagie, and Gim, top 20, 43-1. Might be worth a sprinkle.
What could possibly go wrong with that?
I can't think of anything. James Sott.
Especially with all the water. I mean, hey, I like it, though.
Heading out there next week for the madness. Need to hit the slot machine. There you go. Welcome, James. Come play the slot machine.
Wait, hold on. I think this person's... Oh, they're passed by.
Oh, no.
I thought we were going to get a double chili meeting.
Very exciting. We would have to turn the cameras and everything. Bill Hooker. Hoagie was T3 last year after opening with a 78, third round 62. Johnny Ringo.
Hoagie rolls.
Booze, hair trimmers, and private parts. He has another name for it. And tobacco alternatives. What ad reads can't Gil knock out of the park? Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. And Sports Savant, again, fixated on Jardians. Someone I know in the pharma world explained to me that all these commercials we see are for the purpose of truly getting enough people on the medication so it can be proven to help weight loss and get a secondary FDA approval. Way more money. Boy, that's kind of a horrible way to do this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I would hope that's not true. But
and then good friend Shillionaire. Good friend Shillionaire. Long shots. That's it. Have a good day, guys. Good luck with all your bets. Thank you. It's very kind.
Yeah, appreciate it. Check it out. Download the podcast now.
It's called Long Shot. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke, talking all kinds of sports and whatever's on his mind. And today he comes to us as the official Numbers Game Royals correspondent. It's the great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. Just like you, I'm a little engrossed in this mystery of where Kate Middleton is this week. I'm sure it's on top of everybody's mind.
Well, let me just ask you this. Jason comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. So, usually, Ladbrokes, Paddy Power, Will Hill, all the British books, which, by the way, you can walk on any street in England and place a bet. I once placed a baseball bet. It took like 30 minutes for them to figure out what was happening, but they gave it to me.
I've always wanted to do that.
They usually do Royals betting on, you know, what's Kate, what's the baby going to be, boy or girl? Are they getting married? By what date? Are they getting divorced? They will take bets on this stuff. I guess it's considered, I used the word gauche earlier, to take bets on this right now. But what is your opinion, in case they do, for those listening globally, what is your opinion here? What's going on?
Well, it's weird because, you know, it wasn't like I was following the story any more than I normally would. I do happen to read Daily Mail once or twice or seven times a day. I'm a big Daily Mail fan. But they tend to keep me updated on this stuff. And it was kind of, I guess, it was like Sunday the AP put out a kill notice for the photo. That caught my attention. The AP doesn't do that very often, especially with the royal family. And so the Daily Mail started kind of digging into it, and it looked like there'd been some Photoshop manipulation of the photo. And the explanation they're going with is that Kate Middleton in her spare time is a photography hobbyist and was fooling around on Photoshop, modifying her pictures, which, I mean, I guess is totally believable if you just kind of fell out yesterday and this is your first day on the job or anything. But I'm totally confused as to what's going on here. I don't think it's incredibly nefarious or anything. I'm sure there's some sort of logical answer, but this is kind of an example of how a story takes off because not because of the initial action, but because of the cover up. The cover up has made this much more interesting than it would be otherwise.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We should say we hope that the Princess of Wales, Kelly, is doing fine. We hope that.
Wait, what's the cover?
It's probably something really boring.
It probably is. Like
just
maybe
the Photoshop?
Maybe she's having a bad reaction to a surgery. I don't know what it is, but it's. Well, there was a Photoshop, but then, as Jason said, the AP immediately was like, get rid of that photo. It's clearly Photoshopped, right? So,
and it,
go ahead, Jason.
It looked like the photo was from her old Vanity Fair cover. So even if she was manipulating Photoshop by herself, this is some really expert level Photoshop manipulation. But again, like, this is the excuse they're using. Like, I wasn't born yesterday, but hey, I'm just going to say, all right, whatever you guys say, I'll... You know, I'm just going to keep reading what everyone's saying on Twitter, and it sure isn't. Kate's a photo hobbyist and her Photoshop hobbyist in her spare time.
Yeah, she hasn't been seen, Kelly. That's the point of all this. She hasn't been seen, and so let the speculation begin. Yeah.
And they could just totally show her if they wanted to, you know.
Yeah, it's a global mystery, for God's sake.
But hasn't she commented about this story?
Well, commented is, do you know that she commented? No one's heard her voice.
Who knows who was using her Twitter?
That's right.
A lot of people have Twitters that their press secretaries write all their stuff for them. It's quite common, actually.
Listen, Jason Weingarten is expert in many subjects. We have to add.
Maybe she got abducted by that alien we found in Mexico. Okay?
What about the one in Vegas? Could be. Jason, beyond the royal mystery, have you added any bets baseball wise?
Yeah, I got a couple things I've been looking at this week. One thing I wanted to point out is with the Dodgers and the Padres, I kind of get the sense that they're taking this week of games more seriously than a lot of other teams that still might be a week or two behind them because, you know, they're a week out from their first game of the regular season. So I have my eye on them and their lineups, and I expect, you know, their starters to start going a little longer as they get ready to get on that plane for South Korea. The other thing, speaking of the Padres, it sounds like Jackson Merrill is going to make the opening day roster. They haven't said he's going to be the starting center fielder yet, but it does sound like that's going to be the Padres opening day center fielder. And, you know, if you've been following my rookie of the year stuff, I tend to like guys who have opportunities more than, you know, extreme, you know, upside pedigree. Merrill's a good player. But being the opening day starter, you know, center field is a good jump on a lot of other guys. So I got some Merrill Rookie of the Year this week at 45-1, 50-1. I even played some 40-1. I think that number is probably going to drop when he's officially announced as the opening day starter.
Yeah, and by the way, what Jason was referring to, the actual official opening to the regular season is next week when the Padres and Dodgers play two games in Seoul, Korea, which I had the blessing of actually visiting this past summer. Beautiful. Absolutely tremendous, tremendous city. 10 million people in Seoul, and they love their baseball. Was actually betting some Korean baseball when I was there, which I know you partake in. Any random leagues you've been betting sports-wise, Jason?
Just mostly basketball. You know, I'll do a lot of, like, first-half, second-half stuff, so... Been a fun week. Last week was a little choppy. This week's been pretty good so far. Yesterday was actually really good. So now I have to kind of pace myself the rest of the week and try not to ruin it. But pretty excited for the Big West Championship this week. I hope Irvine
gets the
auto bid there. I think they're going to be a interesting team to watch in the tournament. From my following of the Big West, this is actually one of the better Irvine teams in a while, possibly could even win a a tournament game, but I believe that they're going to win one every year because, you know, I'm a homer.
Yeah. Jason went to UC Irvine. We should point out some people might have missed the connection there. You're an alum. Okay.
Yeah, I've just been doing some mostly basketball stuff this week, a little bit of spring training. We talked about O'Neal Cruz.
Yes.
He still looked pretty good. You know, obviously, spring numbers don't always translate into regular season success, but he really does have that 30-30 upside. So I'm not saying he's, you know, a legitimate MVP contender yet, but I love the upside. And, you know, I think there's still some big numbers out there. So I'm pretty happy with Cruz.
You should be able to find 80 to ones at the worst that are still out there. I gave you a shout out at the beginning of the show. I said the one bet that was totally inspired by you was my O'Neal Cruz 100-1. The counter argument to O'Neal Cruz, and I would like you to address it here, would be, yeah, but he plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and what if they stink? And to that, you would say?
Shohei Ohtani won two of the last three MVPs playing on teams that, you know, had no business even being in Major League Baseball by the end of the season. So, you know, I think we can throw that out the window at this point.
Okay. Good luck with UC Irvine, baby. Let's get it going. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Should be a fun week. Can't wait. All the basketball all day, every day.
Oh, best. So great. Our Royals correspondent, everybody. Our Royals correspondent, Jason Weingarten, on top of global mysteries. We'll come back. We'll repeat all of our bets, tennis and golf. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. St. Joseph's 9, George Mason 2. Let the basketball begin.
Live bet.
You're all over it.
Hey, important for the some of our audience members out there, that promo code for new customers, welcome North Carolina.
Welcome, North Carolina.
Right?
Absolutely. Start
fired up on Monday. Let's go. I've gotten texts from a couple of friends and family members in the state. That's for sure. They're excited.
What is that? What are we up to now? 32 or something like that? What are we up to? 32 in
something
D.C.? Something like that?
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, we are. Did someone post? Is somebody going to post a prop on who will be last?
It's a great call.
Utah will be last, right? Utah will never.
I mean, Utah will be never. Probably,
never. That's
right?
What I mean by last, yeah. Though, right? Like, how will we get past 40? I think we will.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. But there will be holdouts at the end.
There will be.
Yeah.
There will be.
For various reasons.
I mean, California and all of Florida shifting will be.
Yeah.
It's still going to take some time.
Yeah. Lobbies are very powerful in both. Yeah.
It will get worked out, though. There's too much money going
around. Too much money.
Like, you can't be sitting on the sidelines right now watching some of these other states and being like, we don't need that.
The California thing was a complete botch.
Yeah.
Complete botch. They ran those dueling prop commercials so often that people just, the reaction was, I hate all of it.
So that was California. And then I think the first time in Florida, because I was still there, or the first time in Florida, whenever they put it on the ballot, they twisted it in. With the, I think I'm getting this right, they built it in as part of the dog racing one.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, if you wanted dog racing to go away, you were on the side of legalizing sports betting. But you're like, well, what if I want the dog racing to go away, but I want sports betting? You didn't have that option, basically. So it was...
It's all agendas.
Right. I mean, look, I'm not the biggest fan of the Greyhound racing. It's kind of gross to me, so I was kind of glad to see that go. But, like, you wanted the option of sports betting. Didn't get that.
I got a soft spot for Florida. Cut your teeth on Hialeah back in the day, which I've talked about many times. Oh, Florida. What a place.
Hialeah. There's something special about the time in your life when you make your first Hialeah bet.
There really is.
You're live in person Hialeah.
Live? Bet. Well, yeah. That was the only way to make it back in the day.
Like, I would say the same thing about horse racing, too. Yep. You know, I'm not that I'm a big horse bettor, but like when you're at the track and you make a bet on the horses, it's a fun feeling.
Hialeah was also your first experience of knowing that something was fixed right before your eyes. You're like, I can see how I lost that one.
Yeah, right. It's like betting on the WWE. Yeah. Like, what's going to happen here?
By the way, football, beyond the news of Aaron Rodgers becoming a vice presidential candidate, the reason, you know, that we haven't talked a lot of football today, because we have all week, quite frankly, Monday, Tuesday, and we have certainly last week. But with free agency really kicked in this week, we talked extensively yesterday about Kirk Cousins. We've talked extensively about every move that was made up until yesterday on the show. We run into a couple things here where usually the news comes down right after our show, so it's 22 hours later that that we get to talk about something. But honestly, if it doesn't move the betting needle, we'd rather have Alex Kane on from Sportradar to talk about exchanges. That's just how we roll on Numbers Game. But it should be noted, of course, that Derrick Henry, in case you were trapped under a heavy object yesterday, Derrick Henry, I believe I called this right at the end of the show yesterday. I was like, this feels very Baltimore mm-hmm. Ravens. I certainly wasn't the only one because he was running out of options.
You were cracking me up because we were texting about that. Yeah. And then, like, I randomly talked to two other people yesterday.
Yeah.
One of them will go unnamed because people know him.
Oh, okay.
Who all claimed the same. Like, was like, yeah, I called that, by the way.
Oh, no, I'm perfectly willing to say that's all he had left.
The way that you framed it is the way that it should be framed. Yeah. It was like, how many teams could they have got to?
Where else could he end up? So Derrick Henry to Baltimore is just awesome for the Ravens. When the Gus bus went to the Chargers and Derrick Henry didn't end up in all the other places, that was the obvious fit. And good for Derrick Henry, who now can take a shot at a title.
Absolutely for him. And I mean, yes, I know he's getting up there, but he still had a great season last year on a bad team. Like, can you think of a scarier backfield when you're talking about running options with him, Keaton Mitchell, and Lamar Jackson? Like, what?
Don't forget about the great Owen Wright off that practice squad. I'm kidding. Keaton Mitchell he sadly got hurt mid-season or towards, the second, right at the beginning of the second half of the season, somewhere in that pocket. But what a talent, what speed Keaton Mitchell has. And yes, what a combo that is.
I mean, like, bust out, like, the 1960s offensive playbooks. Like, let's get some wing T rolling or something like that.
Dude. What will be the case all next season as we approach the playoffs? It's going to be the same refrain. Can the Ravens actually get it done in the playoffs, though?
That will be
what we'll talk about.
That's going to stick with Lamar until he wins one.
Right. Until he gets to a Super Bowl, until he wins one. Okay, repeating the bets. This is a three-dog day in tennis, and I'll check the prices right now. Again, these are all available at VSiN.com/picks, as is the picks of every host and guest on this network. VSiN.com/picks for subscribers. We lost on Dimonor yesterday. Still up over 17 units in matches in tennis this year, calendar year 2024. Just a great start to the season. This is a big day, though. I got three plays. Every day I don't know what to expect when the lines come out. If I'll have zero, if I'll have, sometimes earlier in the tournament, I'll have five or six a day, as you know. This late in the tournament, when the round is 16, you don't really expect to have three plays. But I play the numbers, and if there's value, there's value. And I got three today. On the men's side, Grigor Dimitrov, plus 137 against Daniil Medvedev. Yes, Medvedev is a hard court specialist, or best on hard courts, I should say. He's really an all-court player. Best on hard courts, though, but on fast hard courts, and this is not what Indian Wells is, it's a slow hard court. Dimitrov's numbers are great. I think Dimitrov takes him down as a plus 137 dog. I'll check the prices here, Kelly, to see what is still available on these. And then on the ladies' side, well, let me actually answer that question before I go to the ladies' side, because the ladies' side, the underdog prices are just out of control. By the way, Dimitrov now a consensus plus 140, 3 cents better than what I got. Grigor Dimitrov against Medvedev. On the ladies' side, I'm taking Dion Parry again. Got her at 2-1. She's still in that pocket. She's at plus 193 against Maria Sakkari. Better raw data for Parry. I did mention this in the first segment. She's never beaten a player as highly ranked as Sakkari. For as great as she started the 2024 season, and we have been the beneficiaries betting on her, just won on her as a plus 130 dog in her last match. Against Alexandrova, I believe it was. She's a $2 dog here, plus 193 right now against Sakkari. I think she gets it done. I think this is her moment to beat a top 20 player. And then the big one, and this is, it's still plus 377. I just don't understand why this number is as huge as it was. If this were 2-1, maybe I don't play it. If it's in the plus ones, I don't, right? But plus 409 on Emma Navarro is ridiculous. So is plus 377 where you can get it right now against the world number two Aryna Sabalenka. Navarro, the fourth-ranked American player in the world. She's a top 25 player in the world. No way she should be a $4 dog. She is a great player. She is also a steely player. She never gives up. She's always alive in this. So Navarro plus 409 is the biggest of the three dogs. So a plus 137, a 2-1, and a plus 409. Yeah. Let's go.
Not often you come firing with a 4-1.
Not often. And I do it a lot. I do big dogs all the time.
Yeah.
But plus 409, I only remember one longer on this show.
I was going to say, I don't remember. I mean, you always got dogs. You very often have dogs.
Yes.
But it's, you know, more in the Dimitrov.
80% of the time do I have dogs, would you say?
Body.
I'd have to check.
Yeah, probably.
Like that. Yeah.
I don't know. I always say I think you bet more women than men, too, but you disagree with me on that, I feel
You're
like.
You're probably right about that.
I think you do. Yeah. Like 55-45.
Okay. I'll accept 55-45.
I do have two NBA plays tonight. Smaller for now. I did bet the Hawks on the opener last night. I knew that number was going to move a little bit. At this point, I would stay away until you get clearer injury news on both sides. I did not put it in the website because of that. Jeremy Grant, questionable for Portland, but they have been absolute trash. I don't really see that changing anytime
soon. Garbage.
Although this is probably only the fifth time I've bet on the Hawks since, like, November, because they just broke my heart again this year. I'm feeling them tonight. Pelicans, I'm going back to them, man. They've just been rolling. I did take a position small in the opener at 6.5 last night. It is still the current number. Now, we did get information yesterday that Donovan Mitchell has been upgraded to questionable for the Cavs. So, good chance he does make his return tonight. I'm going to be playing it either way, though. Going to wait to see what his status is. We'll add on. Hopefully, I can beat the move up.
All right. We have done all we can do. Golics are next. Gojo Jr. and Golic, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.